That's one of our problems, is we don't want to spend time in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Y'all ready to read? Is that what that is? That's a good posture. We don't want to spend time. We don't want to seek God. I'm having the time of my life. It's always been a ministry of prayer and intercessions from its inception, but it has intensified and it has been personalized to a greater level and degree to where not only are Pastor Lucia and I seeking God more than ever before, but we're encouraging others to do the same also. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's time to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Our nation is in a mess. Have you paid any attention to the election process, to the primaries that have been going on? We are in this world, but we're not of this world. But a lot of things that we see going on, this is sheer madness. And everybody thinks that they're right. And nobody's seeking after God. That means we're all wrong. If we're not seeking the Lord, we are in the wrong. And so just the things that transpired this week, and Prophet Brian Carn, he said this. He said this is going to be one of the most confusing elections in the history of America. And it's playing out just that way. Of course, we don't have to fear or be afraid because we don't put our trust in man and we don't put our trust in government. Now, everybody's not on that level in the kingdom. And this is why we have to seek the Lord, because we can easily get caught up into the things that are going on in this world and still conduct ourselves as if we were still under the sway and influence of this world. But we no longer serve the God of this world. We serve the one true and living God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that there are therein, if you will. And so we are led by the Spirit, because the Bible plainly says, they that are led of the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Sons, and daughters, if you will. But we are supposed to be led by the Holy Ghost, and he does more than cause you to shout. Hallelujah. He leads you into all truths. He shows you things to come. He brings to your remembrance the very things that we've been taught by Jesus the Master. So the Holy Ghost is our helper, our intercessor, our advocate, our counselor, our standby, if you will. He's everything that we need right now, especially for the mess that this world is in. This world needs Jesus. We have a logo now on our checks that we send out to the businesses and vendors and things like that. And one of the logos, there's two. There's the TFT, but then there's also one that says, the world needs Jesus. Boy, if there was ever a time that the world needs Jesus, now is the time, the way things are heading, the way things are going. But not only does the world need Jesus, but the church needs Jesus. We can't just look at him as, well, he died for my sins, and 3 days he rose again, and now he's at the right hand of the Father, and so he's up there and I'm down here. I got to live and I got to make things happen. I got to work with what I got kind of stuff. I'll just do it. He has to be Lord. Hallelujah. He has to be Lord, and in that lordship, it cannot be one of those relationships where we look at him like, you're a hard taskmaster, sowing, reaping where you have not sown, and just commanding us to do things, and you sit up there, and you watch us, and you don't interfere in our daily lives. And, you know, no, he's, Lord, I love you. I thank you for calling me with a holy calling. I thank you for saving me from the pit of hell. And I thank you for the life that you called me to live. And I take joy in knowing you and joy in serving you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In other words, I'm the worst sinner that there is. Now, if he can make that claim, and his main reason for saying that he's the worst sinner that there is because he persecuted the church of the living God. He came against the work of God. And beloved, let me tell you this. There are many religious people that are going around, and they do name the name of the Lord. But when it comes to actually living out Christianity, they could care less about you saying that you're a Christian and that you go to church. But when it comes to living it out, when it comes to walking out this truth, when it comes to actually not only having the power of understanding, but the ability to walk out what it is that you understand, all of a sudden, people that you thought were saved, you find out that they're really not saved. And then when you tell them about it, they think that you're judging them. I would rather know that I'm outside of Christianity while I'm here on the earth with opportunity to get it right than to die thinking that I'm right and then discover before Jesus that I'm wrong. It is too late to change at that point in time. We need to be as sons and daughters of the Most High God, as I believe I put in here, following hard after him. Following hard, by that I mean with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength, all of my resources, with all that I am, every day I live unto him, I live for him. We live on purpose. And it's not the purpose-driven life that God has a plan for you. Yeah, that plan is to make you a disciple that you might go forth and be a witness unto him in this earth until he calls you home or raptures the church. That's your purpose. Now, if you end up being a doctor, praise God. You end up being a scientist, praise God. You end up being an attorney, praise God. You end up being a businessman or a businesswoman, praise God. You end up being a custodian, praise God. You end up being a security officer, praise God. That title in the world does nothing for you. What does something for you is who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why the playing field gets level. See, in this world, it's the title that you have. I am. You know, whether you're the wealthiest person in the earth, or whether you have this prestigious title, whether you're president of a corporation, or, you know, all of these fancy titles, and, you know, that's just what you are for 8 hours of the day. You know, pastors have a real challenge. And Judge Judy said this. And when she said this, you watch Judge Judy? I don't watch her all the time, but I like her snappy wisdom. I like how she discerns and sees right through the lies of the people and nails them. But even she said, you know, her children want a parent. Her children don't want Judge Judy. And she's like, children are supposed to take advantage of you. That's why you're the parent. They're supposed to come and take advantage of you. It's a different kind of philosophy, but nevertheless, in living it out in reality. See, our children, Felicia included, I say included because she's right here, Jacob and Desi. Desi's married to Jacob, but Jacob and Fatima and Ariel, they wanted parents. They didn't want a pastor. They got one, but they didn't want that. They wanted a parent like you had a parent, if you will. They ended up getting a prophet and an apostle and someone that comes in with thus saith the Lord. And it's like, you know, you have a hard time dealing with it on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but they had to grow up with this in their home. Does that make sense? And so they had to adjust and adapt because we didn't change. And we don't say that before you to try and be like, you know, we're somebody, we've arrived, and this is exactly how. No, it's like, this is the price you have to pay. This is the cost of discipleship. That if none go with me, still I'll follow. Any of you read your bulletin from last week? These hymnals are just starting to come up and come alive in my spirit. And I appreciate God because they have a story behind them, if you will. But when I saw that this was a person who had received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and because he had received Jesus, the chief of the village came and told him that he had to renounce Jesus. And he's like, how does that song go? I will follow him. I have decided. Thank you, Brother Joshua. That's why you're right there. I have decided to follow Jesus. And so when they issue threats against the family, see, in this culture of the church, my family. If your family reject Jesus, they're going to hell. They're going to hell. Now, if you want to go with them, that's on you. And let me tell you something. Your partnering with them is not helping them. You're enabling and you're crippling them. Just get out of the way and let God have his way. Because if your light is too bright for them to be drawn to, ask the Lord to bring somebody along that's got enough light to get their attention, to bring them to the revelation of what you already know and are walking in, and you refuse to bow down or give over to their mischievous bad behavior. And then start to make excuses for it. I'm telling you the kind of stock that we come from. When Nadab and Abihu brought strange fire before the Lord, God immediately hit them with fire from heaven. The interesting thing about the fire that came from heaven was that it did not consume them. How do you know it didn't consume them? Because Moses commanded his cousins to come over and get their bodies and take them out the camp, which meant their bodies were still intact and their garments were still on them. So the garments were removed and preserved, because Aaron not only had those two sons, but he had two other sons. And God was like, give them to the two other sons. This is how God is. This is the side of God that not many people know about. And this is the kind of the side of God that most preachers are afraid to preach about. This God, not only did he kill, did I say kill? K-I-L-L. I wasn't spelling my name. God killed Nadab and Abihu for offering up strange fire. And after they offered it up, they died immediately. They carried them out. They took off their garments and kept their garments, but they went out the camp. And then God had Moses go up to Aaron and go to Eleazar and Ithamar and tell them, you are not to cry a tear. You are not to shed any type of grief. The people can. Let them share the grief. Y'all don't know this God. The people can. They can share in the grief. See, that's Old Testament. Well, there's a New Testament too. Hallelujah. Ananias and Sapphira. They were both at the beginning of a move of God. This is as God was establishing the tabernacle in the wilderness and teaching them how to worship him after he's brought them out of Egypt from 400 years of Egyptian bondage and captivity. God's now trying to teach them how to worship him, teach them how to have a relationship with him, and they blow it on the spot. They take unto to themselves, I'm going to worship God this way. I'm going to do my own thing. If you read it, Leviticus chapter 9, it's after God has done a mighty move. Aaron is bringing forth the sacrifices. His son, Nadab and Abihu, they're coming with the blood so that Aaron can take the blood and he can anoint the horns of the altar. Aaron can take the blood. He can anoint the instruments and all. Aaron can take the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So they were doing their part, and then all of a sudden God moved, and God had already told them, when they offer up the sacrifices, that God's glory would come. And so God's glory came upon the people, all of them. The glory came, and then Nadab and Abihu come to something. They did just get off track. And they come and they bring some fire that's not from the altar. They bring some fire, more than likely something they conjured up themselves. And they bring this strange fire and this incense, and they go into the holy place. And getting ready to go into the Holy of Holies, because they're coming for the altar of incense, which stands before the very veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Behind the Holy of Holies curtain, you had the altar, you had the not the altar, but you had the
ark, thank you, the ark of the covenant. Above that, you had the mercy seat. On top of that, you had the two angels that were facing each other, representing how it is in glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So you had this, and you had the altar of incense right before that. Here they decide themselves. This is something for the high priest. They're of the seed of Aaron, but they're not the high priest. They're serving with their dad, but they're not the high priest. So they take it on themselves. They start to do something that they weren't called to do and anointed to do. They took it upon themselves. And this is what happens with many people in the body of Christ. They start to take it upon themselves and start doing things because they think, well, I could do it. And I can do it better. Anything you can do, I can do better. And so here they come. Both of them. They both take it. And can't even say toast. They died on the spot. They brought strange fire, and holy fire came and consumed them. Moses sent his cousin. It was his uncle's sons, which meant that they were Moses and Aaron's cousins. You guys go. Notice he didn't send Eleazar and Ithamar. Why? Because he had something special for them. And they learned from that experience. It's like, whoa, God, serious. Whew. So what did God do? After they did that, taking them out, God looked at Moses, and Moses went over to Aaron and said, Aaron, the Lord has said you shall not mourn for your two sons. That's a God, and you might think that, man, how mean God is. No, it's how serious God is when it comes to salvation. It's how serious God is when it comes to him reconciling mankind back to him. It's how serious he is in trying to teach us as his sons and daughters in this earth the right way to approach him. He said, whoever comes before me, they must regard me as holy. Oh, boy, we better thank God for mercy. We better thank God that God desires mercy and not sacrifice, because many of us would be dead. I'm not talking about just in here, but it's throughout the body of Christ. Many would be dead. So God desires mercy and not sacrifice. But he says, whoever approaches me, I must be regarded as holy. Hasn't changed. Look at your neighbor and say, hasn't changed. Hallelujah. We serve a holy God. Hallelujah. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he saw the seraphim before the throne, and they cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, heaven.